have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I don't wanna pretend, I don't wanna play games. Can't lie to myself, not one more day. Been trying to deal with some things that hard to talk about. I'm going through some changes and I'm having my doubts. Been there for everyone else, now I'm going through. The problem tonight, just gonna have to get used to me not being around.
I'm not doing fine.
So
many things going on
in my life.
God be the glory. this once more again, we're here and we're happy to be here with our host, Kimberly Kim, and I'm your co-host, Apostle Brian, blessing him with For His Glory. We're here today to once more again give God the praise and give him the glory and to break bread, the bread of life, in hopes that someone will be able to get some kind of help, be you know, uplifted, or to be strengthened, or to be encouraged in their faith walk. It's been a while since we've been on, and hey, we've just been kind of, you know, busy all over the place here, there, and everywhere else. But we're back. We're back. We're glad to be back, and we'll just leave it at that. And say thank you for joining us. For those who are listening, and again, we say thank you for listening to us as we come together in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we get started, I'd like to have a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, we thank you once more and again for this awesome opportunity to come before your people, to bring forth your word of life. We pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that through this word goes forth, we pray, Lord God, that it found or is found on good ground, and Lord God, that it be multiplied and that it bring forth much fruit, that you be glorified in the earth. These and other blessings we do ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Well, we'll have a little, well, I can't say little because it wasn't really little. I happened to see something yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. And what I saw was something quite alarming to me. I saw something where it's been reported that 80% of men that commit suicide are men who are actually or have actually been under the care or was under the care of a therapist or a psychiatrist, and yet they still decided to take themselves out. And I find that to be a little bit, that was kind of stunning. That was kind of alarming. And I really don't feel like I can point my finger at those who are actually doing the job of being a psychiatrist or being a therapist and try to say that they're not doing a good job. I really believe that they do the best they can with what they got. I really do. I believe that. I had a situation before I found the Lord where I myself was going to see a therapist, but to my experience, it's crazy. To my experience, I went to see my therapist, and I thought I had the right therapist and everything because he had the right name. I felt his name was Dr. Hero. I probably shouldn't put it down. But anyway, his name was Dr. Hero. And I went to go see Dr. Hero one day. And when I got to his office, I was told he was no longer with us. He had passed away. So that kind of like put me even more on search to finding, you know, to finding God. That's pretty much how I stand on the path to finding God. So that leads me to something that I was reading earlier today, and it was talking about being oppressed. And a lot of people don't realize it, but when we're dealing with oppression And when we're dealing with, oppression, and when we're talking about suicide, what we're actually talking about is spirits. And a lot of people don't really see that because we have doctors have given them different terminologies. They don't call them like demons, or they don't call them spirits. They call them stuff like they might call them suicidal, or they might say schizophrenic, or they may say different other things. But when you refer back to the word of the Lord, there's several different places, especially in the four different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we see different stuff. And in the scripture, and bless God, I did not even go to this. I didn't find any of this scripture up. But where things like this took place. There was one man who brought his son to Jesus. And the Bible said he had a lunatic spirit. And he said that often, or he said from time to time, he would foam at the mouth and he would throw himself into the fire. So in today's term, that would be considered suicide. But Jesus called the man, told the man to bring the son to him, and Jesus rebuked the spirit and cast the spirit out of him. And everything became all right. And the scriptures, the passage that I was reading from, it talked about how God, Jesus, went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. So oppression and depression can, it can be a harsh thing. Myself, when I faced it, when I was going through it, I had to deal with depression. And like I said, that was really what was, I feel like a tool that was allowed to be used for me to start my journey and start my chase on who is this man I keep hearing about, I've heard about all my life, called Jesus. I wanted to know if he was real. And so the situation came about where I was going through with depression. I was going through with what they call anxiety attacks. And anxiety attacks was a thing where I could be having a conversation with someone, and in the middle of that conversation, everything may be fine, but all of a sudden I would get hit or struck with a big blow of fear. Fear would just come out low. And part of me would want to scream, and another part would want to say, boy, if you scream, you're going to lose your mind, so don't scream. So a lot of times I felt like I was stuck between a hard place and a rock. I found out later on, because at that time and prior to that time, I was, I know a lot of people go think I'm maybe Lulu or whatever, but I was heavily, very, very heavy marijuana user, pot user, ganja, wood, all that. Yeah, at that time I was all that. And when I went to see the psychiatrist, that was the first question he asked me. He said, do you use marijuana a lot? And at that particular time, it wasn't a lot, but it was still kind of frequent, but it was from the time before. And he started letting me know that, well, it was because of a chemical imbalance in the brain, where part of the brain just stopped functioning. And so I got away from that. I gave my life to the Lord. I got saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I could remember there were several times I would read, or the Lord would just lead me to several different passages or scriptures in the Bible, and I would read and highlight those scriptures, and come to find out the scriptures that he led me to was scriptures on healing. And I could physically, literally feel, as I would read the scriptures, I would feel things breaking off of my mind, and I could feel where part, well, it just feels like science, sci-fi movie, And that's what it felt like. But I could feel parts of the brain that probably didn't function anymore. I could feel it break off, and it seemed like part of that brain would start functioning again. I could actually feel like a pulse or a pulsating beat going on in there as each part was begin to unlock and start back functioning again. And at that point, I started, there was no more depression. There was no more panic attacks. But before that, you know, they had gave me all kind of meds, and the meds didn't work. It was like Imprimine, Desimprimine, Xanax, all kind of stuff. What I will say, well, what happened was because of the heavy medication that they put me on, it did develop a heart murmur, which meant I had a hole in the heart, in my heart. But even after that, after I, you know, really got into it with God and developed a relationship with God, God then healed my heart as well. So there's no more heart murmur, no more hole in my heart. There's, you know, no more oppression, no more depression, no more anxiety attacks or anything like that. It's just a happy life with God now. I didn't know I was going to share all that, but it's just my life story. It's just a part of many places where God has came into my life through His Son Jesus Christ and literally saved me. I can understand why they call Him Savior of the world, because it's not like a one-time save in my life. It wasn't like a one-time fix in my life. There's been several times I've had many spiritual battles and times when, you know, God had to even save me from the hands of witches, warlocks, stuff like that. I mean, I've experienced some wild, crazy stuff. Some people say, well, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in witches. I don't believe in warlocks. The thing about it is you don't have to believe in them. They believe. They cast their belief on you. And what happens is that you need a savior, you need a redeemer, you need the Lord to be able to come in and intervene, fight your battle, give you the total victory in all different parts of your life. But that was kind of shocking when I saw that 80% of men, and it said like a total of 90% of men was actually having sessions with therapists. It was actually having sessions with psychiatrists. But 80% out of the 90% was still committing suicide. And that just kind of really blew me away. We realized God came, or God wants us to have life. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the enemy came to rob, steal, kill, and to destroy. He comes to rob, kill, steal, and to destroy. What is he trying to rob you of? He's trying to rob you of your faith. First of all, he's trying to steal the relationship between you and the Father. He's trying to kill or destroy the actual soul. So basically, his attack, bottom line, is he wants your soul. So let's just do it this way. Say if something happens and you get sick, a part of your body, your arm, your leg, or something like that. Well, the arm or the leg really don't do him any good. What he wants you to do is to turn your back on God and just give up and give up the faith. But what we must do is realize that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, glad I went there, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we were healed. Now, one small thing, which is not small but yet big, that we often overlook, I think, if I remember correctly, I think there was like 39 stripes around his head with a thorn crown was placed upon his head. Now, those stripes that was around his head was for mental healing. I remember being taught that now. But those stripes around his head, the, when they placed that crown of thorns upon his head, that was for our mental capacity, healing of the mind, healing of the mind. So in every area of our lives where there needs to be a healing, God has had, God has made provision for that healing through his son, Jesus Christ. So that's my big point that I'm trying to get across. For whatever it is you need, whatever it is I need, whatever we collectively need, we can find it through Christ. He made provision for that. That's why he said from the very beginning when Moses said, well, who do I say sent me? He said, tell them I am sent you. I am, yes, I am. For whatever you need, I am. You need a doctor, I am that doctor. You need a lawyer, I am that lawyer. Whatever you need, you need that healing, I am that healing. Whatever you need, whatever you desire, I'm broke, I need that money, I am that provider. I am that source. So whatever we need, God has it covered. He has it covered. I want to look at Acts, the 10th chapter, in the 38th verse. Right quick, and we'll look at that, see what that is saying. Because it's talking about, of course, you know, it should be lining up with what we're talking about, oppression. 10:38. Let's see. Normally, I'll punch this up real quick on my iPad, but it needs some repairs. 18:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he sent him around, or how he went around being good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Listen, when I read this, or when I looked at it several different other times before, it's quite fulfilling, really, because when I look at it, it says this is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, which Nazareth is, at the time, wasn't supposed to be a real good place, which lets you know that God can use anybody from anywhere to do anything that he called them to do. But he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. This is where your power comes in. And I know a lot of people who get saved, who receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, but they have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul asked some disciples once, he said, have you received power now that you have been baptized? And they said, we know not if there be any Holy Ghost. And Paul explained it to them. He prayed for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that's where their power comes from. And a lot of times, with, believe it or not, some Christians haven't experienced that, or have not experienced that, or some of them don't want to experience that. So they walk around powerless. And because they walk around powerless, there's certain things that come upon them that they can't combat. They can't. But if a person actually receives that unction, if they receive that power, you'll see that life is long, is more longevity, because you know a lot of things that what you know more about what you're dealing with and how to overcome it through prayer, through fasting, through the word of the Lord, through certain things you need to eat, things you don't need to eat. I mean, he'll just lead and guide you with all of that. But what stands out also to me in that scripture is that it says Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost or with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing. And the key word is and healing all. It didn't say he healed some. It didn't say that, you know, he only went to a certain sector of people who was oppressed of the devil. He didn't just overlook and say, well, you know, I'm just going to go to the white folks and heal them. I'm not going to go heal. I'm just going to go to the black folks and heal them or the Latinos or the Asians. It said all of them who was oppressed under the power of the enemy, of the devil. It said Jesus went about doing good, healing all, not some of them, which lets me know that his power was and is unlimited. He never ran out of the power that he had, because he's still yesterday. He's still same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that was healing yesterday, he still heals today. The same Jesus that was healing today, he's still healing. And tomorrow, he will still be around and available to heal and set the captive free. Because, see, sometimes when we say captive, we think a lot of times we think about being placed in a cell or being placed in a jail. Some of us in prison in our mind. We're captivated sometimes in our own mind. Sometimes we believe the lie that the devil has sold to us. For instance, the Bible tells us life and death. The power of life and death is held in the tongue. I can't just knock doctors. They're here for a reason. They practice medicine. You know, this keyword practice. They practice medicine. And sometimes you might need to go and find out and get some kind of diagnosis so you can figure out if it can be treated. If it can't be treated, you need to know basically what it is you're praying for. What it is you're praying against. What attack of the enemy that he's trying to impose or impress you with? For instance, like I said, doctor told me that I had a heart murmur, and sure enough, I knew this to be true because my heart rate, my pulse rate was low, it was very low. But the thing about it is that whose report are you gonna believe? Are you gonna really believe that report? Or are you going to stay in the scripture and keep believing the word and keep speaking out of your mouth that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed? By his stripes, he was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace, of his peace, was placed upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. I have to believe that. I have to receive that. I have to speak that. You know, speaking, like I said, it's power of life and death in what you speak. Now, here's another kick. Here's another strand to the kicker as well. Now, he also says that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, the more I hear a thing, the more I believe a thing. The more I believe a thing, the more I speak of him. So that's why we have to guard the ear gates. That's why we have to be careful about what it is we're listening to. Because the more we hear a certain thing, the more it goes into our heart. The more it goes into our heart, the more we believe it. And the more we believe what's in our heart, the more we speak it. Because the word says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So you have to always monitor what it is we are bringing into our system. What is it that we bring into our heart? We have to guard whatever it is, whether it be what you know, what it is we're watching, what it is we're seeing, because the Bible says that the eyes are the gates. They're the window. They're the gate to the soul. So we have to watch not only what we're listening to, but we also have to keep a monitor on what it is we choose to watch. You know, I mean, it's so very true. And if you watch yourself, if you watch yourself, you pay attention to yourself, you'll understand that what I'm saying is true. I've noticed this about myself. I have relatives that live in Baltimore, Maryland, and we would go up and see them every year at the spot. And then I had some more that lived in Pennsylvania and some more that lived in New York. So what I started noticing is that we say dog here, and in Baltimore they would say dog. It's not, they had a different, you know, they have a different accent. And what happened, or what would happen, is I started checking myself after being around them for 2, 3, 4 weeks, a month or so. My words began to change. I start picking up their accent. Sometimes they would start picking up my accent. And it's because of what we were hearing, what was going in our ears, and we start picking it up. Same thing. If you hang around a lot of people that use a whole lot of profanity, the more you hang around them, the more they start using that profanity around you. Next thing you know, you're going to have a few words. You're going to have a few words that you want to say, too. So that's why the Bible tells us, be ye separate. Once you become saved, once you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, that's why the word tells us, be ye separate and come out from among them, and touch not the unclean thing. From there, we're going to Isaiah 54 and 14. Praise God. In Isaiah 54:14, it says, in righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. This is a promise that God has given to his people. He said, tyranny won't come near you. Terror won't come near you. And it's interesting because the Bible tells us that perfect love. Who is love? Because the Bible does say God is love. But it says perfect love catches out all fear. So that goes back to what I was saying when I would suffer panic attacks. I would be, man, listen, those things would hit. I was very afraid. Didn't know why I was afraid. I just felt like part of me would, if I need out, part of me wanted to scream, and I felt like I needed to scream. But another part of me was like, boy, if you scream, you're going to lose your mind. There was a fear of death, even though I was, you know, even before I knew I had a heart murmur, there was a fear of death, and I didn't even know why that was. But when I received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, once I developed that relationship with him through his son Jesus Christ, there was no more fear. I didn't have any fear. The only fear now that I have is the fear of God. And that, I found out, is very, very, very important. It blew my mind when I came to the knowledge that, you know, you can run across a lot of people who can say, or who will say, that they love the Lord. And they will say that wholeheartedly, but they don't fear God. And see, to me, now I've had somebody try to debate that with me, but to me, if a person don't have any fear for God, I'm kind of mindful of that. And the reason why I say this is because if they don't have fear for God and they say they love God, they still struggle to do anything because they don't have fear for God. See, when you have fear for God, you realize that God is just God. You realize he's a servant God, a sovereign God. You realize that he's an omnipresent God. You also know that he's a God of love, but you also know that he's a God of wrath. And you also know that he's a God who Satan those whom he loves. So when you know all that, it develops a fear for God. You don't just treat people any kind of way because you realize that God is watching. He's omnipresent. He knows everything. And you realize that if I do this to my brother or to my sister, there's going to be a repercussion. And see, you have a lot of people that don't have fear for God. That's why they treat you any kind of way, say anything they want to say, because they don't feel like there's going to be any consequences to the things that they're doing or the things that they're saying to one another. They don't feel like, oh, God, you know, God might whoop me, God might spank me, God might. They don't think that way because they don't have a fear of God. And because they don't have a fear of God, they don't have wisdom. They don't have wisdom. I said that right, because the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I remember there was certain times I had certain fears about God before I got saved. I kid you not. There were certain things I would do. Doing it, enjoyed doing it, and knew it was wrong, and come home and hit my knees and pray and say, God, forgive me. I was wrong. I need you to forgive me. Help me not to do this no more. I mean, that was actually the beginning of me being wise enough to get my relationship on key and on start with God. It has to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere. And like I was saying, man, listen, people, I understand the scripture more and more when I hear people say, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. But you see them live any kind of way. And this is what Jesus meant by the scripture when he said, with their lips, they do honor with me. He said, but their hearts are far from me. In other words, they're only serving them with their lips. They're only saying, you know, they love the Lord, but they have no fruit. They have no fruit. They have no display of genuine love. You know, genuine love is that kind of love that sticks with you, stick by you, thick and thin. What I mean by thick and thin, whether you got money or you don't have money. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, you got me there. Because the reason you got me there is because I'm seeing so much more now and over again. Well, there's so many different women out there talking about they're looking for a high-value man. A high-value man. A high-value man. In other words, yeah, I'm going to break it on down. In other words, they're looking for a man who's got the bag, as they say. They're looking for a man who's got the money, as they say. This is the thing, though. You find a woman that's looking for the bag, looking for the money, you need to run from that. I'm just telling you straight up, you need to run from it. Because that's the type that's going to be there as long as the bag is there. It happens to be that the bag is gone or the bag starts getting a little slow or the bag gets, a little light. They go on to the next high-value man or the next man that can get them whatever it is they want. Been there, done that. And they'll tell you, I can do bad all by myself. And Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'll go there. And what they don't realize, though, is that God sometimes, because he sees their intentions, and sometimes he sees the heart, sometimes he sees it all the time. There's times that God will allow a drought to come. This is what I'm telling y'all some true stuff. This is me. He will allow a drought to come because he knows what their motives are. He knows what their agenda is. So the drought hit. When the drought hit, the person decides, I'm going to leave. I can't take it. I'm out. And they're out. Now, during this time that they're out, what God would have, or what God would do, he would sustain me. In my situation, he sustained me, he kept me, and I went through a long period to where I was being sustained. Now, when it got to the place to where they could not leech off of me any longer, that's when God began to start blessing me again monetarily. That's when I started coming from one place to the next place because they could no longer leech off of me. They could no longer, they could no longer make any withdrawals. Yeah, I'll say it like that. They could make no more withdrawals through me. See, God knows the intent of people's hearts. And during that time, what you have to realize is that's what God is doing. And what you have to realize is be patient. Be patient. Let patience do her good and perfect work. Sure, people going to talk about you. Some of your closest loved ones go talk, Some of them go tell you you ain't got. Y'all forgive my friends, but that's what was told to me. Someone told me you ain't got a pot to urinate in, and I made it clean for y'all. Urinate in or in window to throw it out of. And they couldn't understand, this, that, and the third. They remember when I was up. They remember when I did this. They remember when I had that. But all of a sudden, you ain't got what they expected you to have. But at the same time, though, I would need certain things from a car, like tires, stuff like that. And even though I needed it, I wouldn't come to them to get what it was I needed. They would even say, if you just do this and do that, I would help you more. But I feel like you're not even trying to help yourself. No, it was just that as I tried to go forth to do certain things, doors would close on me. I couldn't do no better than what I wanted to do. It's because God had me isolated. That people don't understand. There's places and times that God was shutting down certain avenues just to show you that he's in control and that he is your source. And I would be down at the bare minimum needing tires. And next thing you know, I come back at the person's house and he look down and he see tires on my car. And he says, oh, you got you some tires. I said, yes, I do this. And I said, well, how you do that? How you? The Lord bless you. The Lord did it. And that's all they needed to know was that God made a way out of no way. I'm just saying, man, I'm just trying to bring a point home that, even in your lowest hour, even in your darkest place, God is always going to give you a ray of hope. Be patient. He's going to make a way out of no way. And the word, you'll start seeing the word come to pass where the word says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You will see the work of, in the hand of the Lord working on your, or in your behalf. Because one thing about God, he's going to take care of his own. He always has. and he always will. He always will take care of his own. David was caught saying, I've been young and I've been old. He said, but he never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging a bread. You know, David had a lot of wisdom. I mean, a lot of wisdom. But yeah, God is faithful. He is faithful. A lot of times he's more faithful to us than we are ourselves. He's more faithful to us than we are ourselves. In most cases, I know for a fact that he's more faithful to me. He's been more faithful to me than I have, than I've ever been to myself. And I'm grateful for it. If nobody else is, I am. I've been in this thing for a while now, so I've had little experiences and stuff. Let's look at Zechariah, the 9th chapter, in the 8th verse. He says, and I will encamp about me. Oh, forgive me. He said, and I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them anymore, for now have I seen with mine eyes. Listen. God gives or makes a covenant with us. And when he makes that covenant, he protects. There's a particular thing that God is, there's a certain truth that he's really hammering home to me. And I just find myself, it's coming out of my mouth again. When he makes that covenant with a particular person, or when he makes that covenant with you, he protects, oh my God, everything that he's given to you. I said it again, everything that belongs to you, God protects you. What came to mind just now was the book of Job. The Bible says that one day the sons of men was coming to and fro, and God looked at me and he saw Satan, and he says to Satan, you know, why are you here? What's going on? I'm paraphrasing. And the enemy says, I'm searching to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. And God said, well, have you considered my servant Job, who is a good man, and da 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 da. And the enemy's response, the devil's response was, yeah, but you got a hedge built around him. I can't get to him. I can't touch him. You got a hedge built around him. Okay. That's what I was just saying. That's the protection that God had placed around Job and whatever belonged to Job. And the enemy told God, but if you drop that hedge, I'll fix it to where Job will even curse you to your face. And the word says that God told him, you can touch everything he has, but his life. You can't take his life, but you can touch everything else that he has. And, of course, Satan went back, and he killed his livestock, killed his children, I'm not sure if the wife died or not. I think I did a little something on it because one of the wives said to Job, "You need to curse God and die." And Job refused to do that, but he told her that she spoke like a foolish woman. And after the test, God did restore Job, and he had more the second time than he did the first time. But I went there because God does protect everything that belongs to us. Not only does he protect us, but he protects everything that belongs to us. So, with that being said, I'm going to bring things to a close. And I'm just going to say it like this. If you are, I don't know what everybody's going through, but if you're going through a place in your life that seems dark, if you are battling with, we call them sometimes in church, mind battles, that happens. Mind battles are real. Sometimes it happens to those who have a calling on their life. A lot of times it happens to those who have a calling on their life. They're not quite sure if they have a calling or not, but they may have a calling on their life. And the enemy is trying to lead them one way when God is trying to lead them another way. We call it mind battles. When God is trying to tug at your heart to bring you into a place of salvation, but the enemy is still offering you stuff from the world. It may be money. It may be a woman. It may be a man. It may be clubbing, partying, whatever it may be. Those things, if you're in a situation like that, will cause us or cause you to, it will cause you to go through mind battles. And it's not a fun place to be. I mean, honest with you, it's not a fun place to be. But if you find yourself suffering with that, but you want to do what's right, you want to give Jesus a chance, you want to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a son. I believe that Jesus is your only begotten son. And I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and my iniquities. I believe on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. I confess this with my mouth and I believe it in my heart. And Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you come into my heart, that you save me, that you make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to go where you say go. I want to do what you say do. And I renounce Satan. He has no place in my life no more from this day forth. I ask you to wash me in your blood. I ask you to sanctify me through the word of the Lord. And I thank you for making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, feel free to call me. You can contact me on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. And I'll be glad, if you like to pray, have prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you, be glad to pray for you. And I was just saying this, remember, Jesus came that you might have life. But he also said he came that you might have it more abundantly. That's what the scripture says. The enemy came to rob, steal, kill, and to destroy. He said, but he came that, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And with that, we're going to say to you all, remember, whatever you do, do it in decency and do it in order. But most of all, do it for his glory. We love you in God. We love you in Christ. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Kimmy Kim, please, will you take us out? God bless you. Amen.
Everything I've tried, nothing fills the void.